Hi, this is Jovi.
And this is Charlie.
And you're listening to
Bed Crime Stories. It is a weekly true crime podcast where we pour ourselves a drink and we take turns telling each other the stories that keep us up at night.
We sure do. But you know,
we sure do.
You know, I think Charlie, I think you have some exciting news to tell everybody.
Do I?
Yeah, I think you do.
Do
As you
I?
scratch your face and tap your nose with your left hand, what is that?
My newly adorned left hand. Somebody's getting married.
Hell yeah. Charlie got engaged. He put a ring on it.
He put a ring on it. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
It is very exciting. Yes, very exciting. This week at work has been very fun. Like walking into rooms with my left hand in front of me, like, so it enters before I do. Like, hi, everybody. It's so great to see you, waving backwards.
And it's like you put your hand in first so the light hits it. So you kind of have like that spotlight.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I texted him today. I was like, today's the first time that I've gotten to conversationally refer to you as my fiance, and it's pretty cool.
Isn't that fun?
It was fun.
And
It was
fiance
fun.
is so much more fun to say than boyfriend.
Yeah,
Because,
I agree.
yeah, it makes you sound all adult and
Yeah.
mature, if you will.
Mature.
Mature.
Mature. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's my big news.
Yes. It was so exciting, guys.
It was very exciting.
We made Charlie Ugly cry on Saturday, and it was fantastic.
Yes. Yes. Because he surprised me with a little surprise party post proposal. And I ugly cried because I was incredibly surprised.
It was
Incredibly
awesome.
surprised.
It was everything we could have hoped for and more.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful night. It was a great weekend. Yeah, good stuff. Very good stuff.
Nice. It was very nice. But besides getting your hand weighed down by that rock, how was the rest of your weekend? What did you guys do on Sunday?
What did we do on Sunday? I have no idea. Oh, I remember. We went to go visit our parents. So
Okay.
we went to his parents' house first and then my parents just to, because of course at the party, the parental units were not there. It was just our friends and my sister was there and stuff like that. But we didn't get a chance to see our parents yet. So we went to visit everybody on Sunday and show off the ring
Of
and tell the
course.
story and all that fun stuff. But yeah, so we did a couple of visits on Sunday. And then, I mean, truthfully, like, we passed out Sunday night because we were so tired from the day before and driving around and stuff. So yeah,
Of
it was an
course.
early night on Sunday night, but it was a very good weekend.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad
Yes.
to
How
hear
about
it.
for you, Jovi? After I saw you on Saturday night, how was the rest of your weekend?
It was good. Sunday, I started putting together my reading journal because I decided to do one of those.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it because at the rate I've been reading, I'm like, it would be kind of fun to do. So it's so simple right now because, you know, it's my first time doing it, but I'm proud of my little notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I
fun.
like it.
And like, here, I'm going to show you just the first page because I'm really proud of how that came out because it came out kind of cute.
Oh, very cute.
Yeah. So that's what
Very,
I
very cute.
thank you. That's what I did on Sunday. Besides, I literally did that and I was like, okay, I'm going to read. I read about 150 pages. I was just like,
Dang.
awesome. This is awesome. But I do have some goals and stuff. So now I just feel like a super nerd, not just a nerd, a super nerd. But
Super nerd.
I'm excited because after I finish this book, I'm going to read Paris's book. Because
Very nice.
my stepdaughter had gotten it for me for Christmas, and I'm so excited to read it. So excited because I love Paris Hilton. I always have.
Me too. You
Like,
have, yes.
I huge supporter. I knew that she wasn't as dumb as she acted. I knew it. There was no fucking way. She's a smart businesswoman and she's done a lot. So
A lot, a lot.
Props to Miss Hilton. But yeah,
Props to Paris.
that's That's pretty much it. That's what I did on Sunday. I read.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Good times.
I am still like knee deep in my Grey's Anatomy binge. Yeah, I'm season six, I
Okay.
think now. So I haven't been watching anything else but that.
Fair.
The Gypsy Rose Blanchard Lifetime show came out this past weekend. So Jovi and I are currently making plans to watch that. We're going to try and watch it together.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about that when we do finally watch it. But I know that that's kind of like
The
the
big
big
thing.
talk of the town when it comes to true crime these days.
Yep. Yep. Because she's everywhere.
Dude,
At
everywhere.
like everywhere you look. I was pulling up
Everywhere you look.
articles to get my headlines for tonight's episode, and literally every other article was Gypsy Rose this and Gypsy Rose that, and like most they were all positive, like none of them were negative in any way, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, I hope they don't like overstimulate her
Oversaturate.
and like send her going bonkers, because yeah, it's like all good attention now, but you know how the media works, you
It's a
know
lot.
how it is, a lot, it is a lot. So yeah, but
Well, and it's because it's one extreme to another.
right.
It's like you're in jail, completely segregated from the public, other than like visits and stuff from the people that you're allowed to get visits from and your lawyer and shit.
Right.
And then obviously the other inmates. And then now all of a sudden you're everywhere. And it's a little cray. And I feel bad for her, but at the same time too, it's like, all right, girl, just stay home.
Yeah.
Hang out with your husband, hang out with your dad and your stepmom. Like, girl,
Seriously.
take a breather. Have a home cooked meal and relax.
I'm sure she will. And like, I'm sure a lot of it was press for her special that came out too. You know what I mean? So, but I'm sure it'll die down. It's just so new, and like it's a recent story, so a lot of people know it. But yeah,
Truzies.
the only TV that I've been watching is we decided to rewatch the John Wick movies because we haven't seen the fourth one yet. We've been slacking. And like last night, Lee was like, "Well, what do you want to watch?" And I'm like, "Ooh, we haven't seen John Wick 4 yet." He goes, "We need to watch them all." I'm like, "Okay, oh darn, we have to start from the
Oh,
beginning."
darn.
Because those movies are flipping fantastic. Like, he avenges his dog,
It's like
guys.
seriously the best, and like I mean, fucking relatable, right?
Yes.
Like I get it.
Yeah. Oh,
Like, I get
100%.
it.
100%.
Legit. My fiance and I were talking on our drive home on Sunday. It's so much fun. On our drive home on Sunday, we decided that we're gonna do like full binges of full series movies.
Nice.
So we picked Harry Potter, Star Wars, and Lord of the Rings. So
We just did a Lord of the Rings too.
now I am going to admit something. I've only ever seen the first one and I hated it. It bored me to tears. And every single time I watched it, it made me fall asleep. And I'm like, it's basically a movie about short people walking around. And it makes me fall asleep. So he gets mad because it's his literal favorite thing on the in the planet. So he wants us to watch the extended versions of all three. And I'm like, oh damn. So I was like, we're watching the extended versions of that. We're also then going to do a full saga rewatch of Harry Potter and a full saga rewatch of Star Wars. So we are starting Harry Potter probably next weekend. And then the weekend after that, we'll do Star Wars. And then,
That's
So.
5 hours a movie.
Oh, I know. If
Okay.
the first one non-extended made me fall asleep, I can't even imagine what I'm in for. But I promised.
I mean, I get it, but it can be
And
a
that's why I
little
said to him, I was like,
slow, but it really does pick up. The first movie is just, you're kind of setting the stage for everything. But as you
yes,
get
5 hours of
into,
walking.
I know, I know, but as you get into the second movie and the third movie, there's a lot more action, there's a lot more going on, there's just so much more happening.
I believe you.
Yeah. I will pray for you.
Thanks. Well, and like I said to him, I was like, I don't mind watching the whole thing, but why do we have to do the extended versions? They're so long. But I mean, that's what I'm marrying. So here we go.
Is he going to make you watch The Hobbit too?
No, he said that he does not. He's not going to make me watch The Hobbit because he said that those movies are terrible.
I are not. I just watched them for the first time and I really enjoyed them.
Well, did
And
you ever read The Hobbit?
no.
Okay, see, I read The Hobbit
Yeah.
when we were in elementary school, and that was kind of like what he was saying. He's like, it's nothing like the, like, yes, there are elements of the book to the movies. He goes, but the book is like
It's
less than an
super
inch long.
thin.
It's a kid's book,
Yeah.
and they made it into three gigantic movies. And it's kind of
Yeah.
like,
They took a lot of liberties with it. Because I
beyond,
do
yeah.
know that it is a short book, but like, I don't know. I really liked it. And like, I love Smaug. I do. He's
Just like saying it.
a sassy,
Smaug.
sassy dragon.
You know it's
Oh.
Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
Yes. I did know that, and it made it
I love him.
better. But no, I cried at the end. I cried. It was
Yeah.
very good. I don't know. I liked it.
Or Bilbo.
No, I didn't cry for Bilbo.
Don't cry for
Anyway,
Bilbo,
okay.
Argentina. Okay.
Let's now we're
Okay.
getting completely left field. So why don't we do what we are here for?
Well, we got to start with Jovi's true crime headlines. She picked a couple
Yes.
out for us for tonight.
Yes, I did. I went ahead and I picked two for us.
Dose.
And only one is from people.
Very good.
Yes, I've been trying to stay away and I've been doing good. But this one I chose because it made me angry. And I'm going to do that one first because, yeah. Okay. So, my first headline from People, it was published on January 5th, so a few days ago. And the headline reads, Alabama man hired brother to kill his wife. Daughter confronts him at sentencing, quote, I hope you rot.
Good for you.
Yes, and that's exactly why I chose this one, is because you know what? Good for you. Because you know I can't imagine what it would be like to go through that, where your father hired your uncle to kill your mother. You know what I mean? And for her to be able to be like stand up and say, you know, I can't. All right. So an Alabama man's family has some harsh words for him on Thursday as he was sentenced for his part in his ex-wife's 2017 murder. Fuck you. I hope you rot. One of Jason Starr's daughters told him, according to News 4. Another daughter told Jason, you are useless, according to the
Oh,
local news
yes.
outlet's report of the sentencing hearing that was published on Friday. Jason, who is 50, and his brother Darren Starr were sentenced to life in prison by a federal judge on Thursday after being found guilty of murdering Jason's ex-wife, Sarah Starr, in 2017. And there is no parole in the federal court system, so no possibility of parole, so you're screwed.
Oh,
Yep.
well.
The Ledger also noted that the Ledger, which is their newspaper, also noted that the judge ordered Jason to pay a fine of $25,000.
Dang.
The brothers were convicted by a jury in their murder for hire scheme in September of 2023. A jury found the men guilty of conspiring to kill Sarah, a 38-year-old Heron Creek Elementary School teacher and mother of four, because
Oh, God.
Jason didn't want to pay her the money she was awarded by the court in their divorce.
What a dick.
Yeah. Again, all for fucking money. Are you joking me?
Yeah.
Are you joking me? Was it worth it? Was it worth it?
Yeah. And like, it's money for your kids, bro. So you're a deadbeat dad and you killed their mom.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. So
Cool
now they
story,
don't have
bro.
a dad. an uncle, and a mother. Way to
Right.
fucking go. Jason of Coffee Springs, Alabama, hired his brother Darren of Lake Hills, Texas, to kill Sarah. Authorities said that Jason gave his brother a motorcycle worth about $2,600 sometime between September and November of 2017. So
Wow,
that was
that was
his
his payment.
payment. Sarah was killed by two point blank gunshots in the early morning hours of November 27th of 2017 as she exited her house in Chancellor on her way to work. So this guy's the real fucking winner, and I'm so proud
Yeah,
of
he's a real
his
piece of
daughter.
work.
Yep. I'm so proud of his daughter for saying that to him. And she said that in court, like that was her statement to him. And I'm like, I want to like bravo the shit out of her. So good for you. Good for you, Chickie. But yeah, that is the first headline. And it made me very angry. And you see why.
Yeah,
And
that's
now,
a major ship bag.
big time.
They're both major ship bags, actually.
Yes. Yes. This next one is actually very interesting to me because I didn't know it was a thing. This is from CBSNews.com. And it is from today, actually, about 4 hours ago. And the headline reads, Alabama can carry out nation's first execution using nitrogen gas, federal judge says.
Interesting.
Right? And I was like, wait, what? What now?
Like laughing gas?
Yeah.
Oh
Nitrogen.
no,
No,
that's nitrous oxide.
yes, I'm sorry. No, that's my bad. Nitrogen hypoxia. So it goes into it. Alabama will be allowed to put an inmate to death with nitrogen gas later this month. A federal judge ruled Wednesday, clearing the way for what would be the nation's first execution under a new method the inmate's lawyer criticized as cruel and experimental. Well, the motherfucker killed people, so how is it cruel? And yes, it is experimental because it's new. So the facts are facts, you know?
Mean.
U.S. District Judge R. Austin Huffaker rejected Alabama inmate Kenneth Eugene Smith's request for an injunction to stop his scheduled January 25th execution by nitrogen hypoxia. And his attorneys have said that the state is trying to make him the quote unquote test subject for an untried execution method and are expected to appeal the decision. Hold on, look. I'm going to skip a little bit because I mean, this is a long article, but basically, it goes on to say that Smith, who is now 58, was one of two men convicted of the murder for hire slaying of a preacher's wife in 1988 that rocked a small North Alabama community. Prosecutors said Smith and the other man were each paid $1,000 to kill Elizabeth Sennett on behalf of her husband, who was deeply in debt and wanted to collect on insurance. So, more trash bags.
And money.
Always. It's always fucking money. Okay, the judge's ruling letting the nitrogen execution plan go forward came after a court hearing in December and legal filings in which attorneys for Smith in Alabama gave diverging descriptions of the risks and humaneness of death from exposure to nitrogen gas. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall's office had argued in court, in the court filings, that the deprivation of oxygen will, quote, cause unconsciousness within seconds and cause death within minutes. The state compared the new execution method to industrial accidents in which people passed out and died after exposure to nitrogen gas. So they're basically going to put a mask that goes over his nose and his mouth to where the only thing he could breathe in is the nitrogen.
Is the nitrogen.
And that's it. And it goes on to say that the American Veterinary Medical Association wrote in 2020 euthanasia guidelines that nitrogen hypoxia is an acceptable method of euthanasia for pigs, but not for other mammals because it could create an anoxic environment that is distressing for some species.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know how I feel about that.
It's different. I don't think it's quick, you know, like I feel it's that's kind of torturous, right?
Yeah.
It's a little weird. Smith's attorneys also argued the gas mask, which, like I said, is fitted over his nose and mouth, would interfere with Smith's ability to pray out loud or make a final statement before witnesses in his final moments, which they have a point because
Yeah.
they have that moment to do that. The Alabama prison system agreed to minor changes to settle concerns that Smith's spiritual advisor would be unable to minister him before the execution. The state wrote that the spiritual advisor would be able to enter the execution chamber before the mask was placed on his face to pray with him and anoint him with oil. So there's that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Like taking my own personal thoughts about just like capital punishment in general off the table, I at the end of the day, as long 'cause the whole thing is we have to be better than they are, right?
Right.
So you want the execution if it has to happen to be humane and not torture.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can't like ethically test whether or not this is even going to fucking work right. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
It's I feel like I don't
There's too many unknowns. And like,
yes.
yes, our anatomy is actually quite similar to that of a pig, but not similar enough that we know how a human is going to react to this.
Correct.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Correct.
I'm gonna tell you here and now. I don't like it.
Yeah. And actually, three states, Alabama, Mississippi, and Oklahoma, have authorized nitrogen hypoxia as an execution method. But Alabama is going to be the first one to
To
use
test
it.
it.
So I agree with you. I think it's kind of inhumane. I would think that for the death penalty, it should be quick, like lethal injection. And I get like the electric chair wasn't exactly fast, but
Right.
I feel like it still would be faster than this,
But the
right?
whole thing is that's the whole reason why there's a new way to do it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
But
I don't like
yeah,
it.
so I guess we'll see after January 25th. We'll see what the news says.
And that's the thing that's, I don't like it. I don't like it. Just,
So there's that. That was my second headline. Like I said, I found it extremely interesting. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Very interesting. Same.
Yeah. So,
Very interesting.
yeah.
Huh. Well, looky there.
See, you learn something new every day, people.
Ain't that about a bitch?
Oh, man. Well, those are my headlines for tonight. Charlie, I do believe you have a story for us, don't you?
You do believe correctly,
Oh, I'm excited,
Miss Ma'am,
Miss Ma'am.
Miss Ma'am.
That's what I call rainy.
Aw,
Yeah. Anyway,
that's
sorry. I'm
cute. That's cute. So I'm actually going to tell a story in which likely no one died, or possibly no one died. It's a
Oh.
mystery.
Oh, I like that. I love
It's a mystery.
mysteries.
Mystery. I am going to tell the story about the escape from Alcatraz.
Well, that
Yes.
is fun.
Yeah.
I love
Pretty good.
that.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. So my sources for my story this evening, got a lot of really great information from a website called Alcatraz History. And it's, from what I could tell, was like the website for Alcatraz because you could like buy tickets for the tour right there on the site.
Oh, nice.
And they had a really nice, really detailed deep dive of the escape. So a lot of my information is from them.
Okay.
Filled in some blanks from NPR, from the LA Times, and from Wikipedia.
Okay.
But I would say primary resource was alcatrazhistory.com.
Nice.
Okay. Let's jump in,
Let's
shall
do
we?
it. Yes.
Let's escape from The Rock. Like Sean Connery. Okay. Located on an island in the middle of San Francisco Bay, Alcatraz, known colloquially, love that word.
That is a good
A good word.
word.
Yeah. Known commonly as The Rock, The Alcatraz prison held prisoners since the Civil War. So it was up and running for that long. But in 1934, they kind of refortified the prison and made it the world's most secure prison. And they said that it was going to be escape proof.
Now,
Some of the.
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off right
You're
there.
fine.
But now, don't they
No.
know that by saying that, that's just opening people to the challenge of, oh, really? Challenge is accepted.
Kind of like how the Titanic was unsinkable.
Yeah, exactly.
Setting yourself up for failure, friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, like you did this to yourself, is what I'm telling you. Eventual inmates include dangerous organized crime mobsters like Al Capone and George Machine Gun Kelly. Not that creepy, skinny white dude that's dating Megan Fox. What a creep. There were a lot of people that were put there were prisoners that had a history of prison escape. So they're like, well, you keep escaping all these other prisons, so we're going to put you at Alcatraz. And then one of the more famous prisoners at Alcatraz was called the Birdman of Alcatraz. He was like a cuckoo guy who like raised birds. He was a little nutty, but an interesting cast of characters at The Rock.
Little bit, yeah.
In the 1930s, Alcatraz was already quite an intimidating place. It was surrounded by the cold, rough waters of the Pacific Ocean. And the redesign that they did included stronger iron bars, a series of strategically placed guard towers, and stricter rules. So they would have up to a dozen checks a day of the prisoners.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it was quite locked down, quite strict, and actually like just fucking scary. Like it was scary to be there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. Despite the odds, from 1934 until the prison was closed in 1963, 36 men tried 14 different escapes. So they usually did it like in pairs. Nearly all were caught or didn't survive the attempt.
Oh, shit.
There were three particular inmates, however, whose success or failure remains a mystery to this day.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, so let's meet our main cast of characters.
Okay.
So first we have Frank Lee Morris, who grew up in and out of the system. He was a foster child from infancy, and he was kind of shuffled from one foster home to another. By the time he was only 13 years old, he was already convicted of his first crime.
Jesus.
Petty theft, all that fun stuff. When he reached his later teens, Morris's criminal record would include a multitude of crimes, ranging from narcotics possession to armed robbery. He had become a professional inhabitant of the correctional system. He spent his formative years at a boys' school, and then he graduated to a series of correctional facilities, both large and small. Prison officials claim that Morris was incredibly smart and he kind of punched his ticket to Alcatraz by becoming a prolific prison escape artist. In 1960, federal officials decided that because of his pattern of escape attempts, he was going to get sent to Alcatraz and that was going to put an end to it. He arrived on January 18th, which is 8 days from now,
Oh, look at
but in
that.
1960. Well, when you're listening to this, it's 7 days from now in 1960. He arrived by prison boat and became inmate number AZ1441.
Okay, sounds like a license plate.
It does. It does. It does. That is Frank Morris. Up next, we have brothers, a pair of brothers. We have John and Clarence Anglin. They were also serving sentences at Alcatraz for bank robbery. So one of the things that Frank Morris got himself thrown in jail for originally was bank robbery. Got himself to Alcatraz because of his escapes. John and Clarence get to Alcatraz kind of the same way. So the Anglin brothers were imprisoned at the federal penitentiary in Atlanta when they first became acquainted with Morris. They were there at the same time with him. John and Clarence, the Anglin brothers, were eventually sent to Alcatraz following a sequence of attempt escapes. So they were all kind of on the same scheme, or trying to run the same scheme, I guess I should say. Alcatraz inmate Alan West was also brought in on the plan to escape. He was serving his second term at Alcatraz, and he had a reputation for being very arrogant. He happened to know John Anglin from the state penitentiary in Florida. So together, all four men worked together to devise a plan for what is known as the Great Escape.
And you know, it's funny because it's like the three knew each other from the same prison. They were there for the same, well, one was there for the same reason.
Ish thing.
Yeah, it's like, would you really want them to be all be in the same place? I'm just saying.
You know, you might want to do some history searches on these guys before you put them all together, you know? Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing that out. They begin to really start planning this scheme in December of 1961. And it begins with them starting to collect several old saw blades that Alan West allegedly found in one of the utility corridors while he was on cleaning duty.
Okay.
In a later interview, Alan West, takes credit for masterminding the entire thing. Now, of course he does, because
arrogant.
The other three can't speak for him and he's super arrogant.
Yes.
So who knows if it really was his idea.
Right.
Later we'll figure that, or later on we'll find out that officials think it was Frank Morris's idea and not Alan West, but Alan West seems to want all of us to think that he was the one who came up with the entire thing.
Okay.
The plan was very complex, and it involved the men designing dummies. They also had to design rafts and life preservers. So the rafts and life preservers, they made out of over 50 raincoats and prison-issued vests.
Oh, wow.
Some of them have been taken from other inmates, either donated or stolen. There was plenty of other inmates that were providing stuff to these guys. Like, yeah, go ahead, escape.
Yep.
Here's some shit for you.
I bet you they had bets on the side. How
oh,
much
I'm sure.
do you want to
oh,
bet?
I'm sure. I'm sure. They used a variety of crudely made tools to dig with. By May of 1962, Morris and the Anglins had already dug through the cell's 6x9-inch vent holes. So in each one of the cells, all of Alcatraz had obviously small little vents. And that's what they did. They took like the grates and were digging into the vents to try and get back into like the utility hallways behind the cell blocks.
Gotcha.
So they already dug through the vent holes and they started work on the vent on top of the cell block. So the idea was get through our vents in our individual cells, get up toward the roof, knock out the vent on the ceiling or on the roof, and fucking jam.
Okay.
So a couple months after the plan is devised, they're already starting to work on the vent at the top of the cell block. They are making fast work of this. The Anglins were in cells that were adjacent to one another. And Alan West and Frank Morris were in cells that were next to each other.
How convenient.
And right. Super convenient. And what they wound up doing was alternating shifts. So in each of the adjoined cells, like West would be digging while Morris was the lookout, and then they'd switch. So this is how they were able to coordinate digging out the vents. They would start work at about 5:30 p.m. and continue until 9 o'clock, which was lights out. The brothers started to craft dummy heads, and they started to actually give them pet names. They called them Oink and Oscar because, you know, we have to have a hobby, I guess.
I mean,
the heads were... I guess the heads were like life, life like enough to pass for an inmate in the dark under a blanket.
Okay.
But they were very crude looking dummies.
Okay.
They were constructed from a homemade cement powder mixture that included materials that they were able to get around the prison, like soap and toilet paper. They decorated them with a flesh tone paint from prison art kits. And they would steal hair from the floor of the barbershop and glue it to the top of the dummy's head so there was real hair on it.
No. Smart.
But also
but no,
smart,
no,
so
no,
smart,
no.
smart, smart.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. They were able to steal glue from the shop at the prison. That's how they glued the hair to the top of the dummies. And that's also how they started to cut and bond the raincoats and the vests together to make rafts and life preservers. John Anglin carefully completed a valve assembly on the 6x14 foot raft. So he like made a valve so you could blow it up. Like, these guys, what the fuck?
Jesus.
And then Frank Morris was able to take a musical instrument called a concertina, which is like a accordion-ish type of a thing, and that's what they were going to use to inflate the raft.
Men are smart.
Right? Like, use your powers for good, sirs.
Seriously.
So after months of preparation and planning and building and crafting and fucking brilliance, their gear is done. And they're ready to like finalize the dig and get the fuck out of here. And it was now time for them to concentrate on the top vent to get the hell out of there. But while the other guys were well into their craftiness, Alan West had fallen behind on his ventilator grill inside of his cell. And now, one of the Anglin brothers was like, "It's fine. We'll be able to help you, blah, 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 blah." But we'll see. He wound up not going.
I was
Okay.
just going to say they didn't, did they?
So, spoiler alert now. So, on the night of June 11th, 1962, Frank Morris says that the top ventilator on the roof, or that goes to the roof of the prison, is loose enough that they're ready to escape. So basically, it's loose enough that we're gonna be able to like kind of kick it out or punch it out. At 9:30 p.m., immediately after the lights out check, Frank Morris brings down the dummies from the top of the cell blocks where they had them hidden. Clarence Anglin attempts to assist Alan West in removing his ventilator grill by kicking at it from the outside of the cell in the utility corridor, but he is unable to kick it in. So Frank Morris and the Anglin brothers leave Alan West behind and they fucking bounce. So,
At least they
yeah.
tried.
I mean, the whole thing is they tried and they needed to get the fuck out of there when they could, right?
Correct, correct.
So, the three of them from this utility corridor climb up a plumbing fixture to the roof. It's about 30 feet climb. They kick out or punch out the vent. Get to the roof. They walk about 100 feet across the roof. They kind of shimmy down a drain pipe to the ground near the entrance to the shower area. And then they fucking are gone. On June 12th, 1962, they vanish and it launches the largest manhunt of its time.
Jesus.
Yes. Bill Long, who was the lieutenant in charge of the cell block that night, said that he didn't really ever hear anything. He said it was a totally normal night for him. He had worked all night through this entire ordeal and didn't really hear a peep. He does remember a couple of odd things that happened on the shift before his. A lieutenant had reported that there was a loud bang he described as a hubcap rolling on the floor. Or could it have been an air vent being popped onto and rolling on the roof? Right. And another officer had reported hearing footsteps above him, but nobody, it never came of anything. They never found anything. And then when Bill Long orders the morning count, the guy who was searching the B1 block doesn't come back. So when Long goes to find him, he's like, there's a guy in his bed who won't get up for count. So Bill goes over and he gets down on his knees. He puts his head against the bar and kind of like reaches through to hit the pillow. And as he starts hitting the pillow, he says, quote, bam, the head flopped off onto the floor. Oh, I thought right then and there that a head had fell off on the floor. They said, I jumped back 4 feet from the bars. I mean, the most unexpected thing you can imagine, end
Seriously.
quote. The dummy head rolled off
Yes.
the pillow. And that's when he realized, oh shit, bros are gone. And he sounds the alarm.
I couldn't even imagine being him and shaking the bed and seeing, oh, I
Head
know.
roll off. Yeah, exactly. So boats start to go up and down the bay. They go out into the ocean. Officers search every corner of Alcatraz Island. They find fuck all, nothing. Miles and miles,
Damn.
hundreds of miles looking for them, find nothing. Frank Morris, John Englund, and Clarence Englund were never seen again.
Wow.
Yep. In a later interview, like I said, Alan West taking credit for everything,
Of
he said that their
course.
plan had exactly. But he does say that their plan had been originally that they were going to take their raft and they were going to make their way to Angel Island. And then once they get to Angel Island, they were going to take a little bit of a rest. Then they were going to go back into the bay, back on the rafts, and then get well, they were going to re-enter the bay on the opposite side of the island, swim through a waterway called Raccoon Straits, and get and go into Marin County. Once they were in Marin County, they were going to steal a car. They were going to break into a clothing store so they can obviously get clothes
Right.
and then head out in their own directions, never see each other again, and just fucking go, vanish. Now, later on that night, Alan West actually had been able to get his grill out of his vent
Okay.
and climbed up to the rooftop. But by the time he got up there, the other three had disappeared. There was no raft for him, right? So he wasn't able to escape. He wound up being forced to return to his cell. U.S. Marshal Michael Dyke, who as of 2012 was still assigned to the escape case because it is still technically an open case and there's still technically an
Jesus.
active warrant out for all three of them. He states that the days following the escape, the vests that were used as flotation devices were found, or a couple of them were. So there was one found in the bay, one found in the ocean, and then one found on the roof. And up there was also a spare raft. So either Alan West just didn't see it when he got up there, it was hidden or whatever,
Right.
but that shit was still up on the roof. The FBI tested all of the equipment that they were able to find and appeared that everything that they had would have been able to float for hours in the bay.
Oh, shit.
So they would have had plenty of time with the stuff still floating to make it to Angel Island, as was the original plan. Michael Dyke also ran his own tests. He asked the Coast Guard to run a simulation of the escape, and it showed that the men could have survived in the cold bay water for at least 2.5 hours if the boat had failed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dyke says a paddle was recovered near Angel Island. There was also an unconfirmed report of a raft on the island, but we don't know if that's true or not. And that night, the wind was blowing in that direction. So,
It all kind of in their favor. Yeah.
correct. Plus, they also had an 8 to 10 hour head start from when they were finally discovered that they had escaped. FBI investigators announced their official position that they say while it was theoretically possible for the men to have survived and reached Angel Island, the odds of them having made it through the turbulent currents and frigid waters of the bay were negligible. So the FBI is stating that they do believe that all three men drown.
But see, here's the thing. It's likely that they drowned, but it's not impossible that they made it.
Correctamundo.
So you kind of can't just dismiss it like that and say, oh, yeah, I mean,
Correct.
they could have, but no, they probably died. No, they're everything was in their favor. Everything was in their favor. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of think they pulled it off.
I kind of do actually too. So when FBI closed their case, they turned it over to the US Marshals, who, like I said, still have open warrants out against all three of the men. So therefore, they continue to investigate until they find proof of their deaths.
Wow.
Alan West, who obviously, as we know, did not participate in the escape, fully cooperated with with the investigation and was never charged for his role in the escape. He was eventually transferred to McNeil Island in Washington after Alcatraz closed down in 1963. And later he headed back to the Atlanta Penitentiary. After he served his sentence, followed by two additional sentences in Georgia and Florida, He was released in 1967, only to be arrested again in Florida the following year on charges of grand larceny. At the Florida State Prison, he fatally stabbed another inmate.
Well, damn.
This was in October of 72. Yeah, so much for like being a nonviolent criminal, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly, this stabbing may have been a racist hate crime.
Oh, no.
That's fun. He was serving multiple sentences, including life imprisonment, for the murder conviction when he died from inflammation of the lining of his stomach in 1978.
Ooh, that sounds gross.
Yes.
Wow.
On December 16th, 1962, so only about 6 to 7 months after the brothers and Morris escaped, Alcatraz inmate John Paul Scott made floaties from inflated rubber gloves at the prison. And he was able to swim a distance of 2.7 nautical miles from Alcatraz to Fort Point, which Fort Point is the end of the Golden Gate Bridge on the south side of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
He was found there by teenagers. He was hypothermic and exhausted and suffering from exhaustion. He winds up being sent to Letterman Army Hospital, where he recovered. And once he was recovered, he was returned immediately back to Alcatraz. Yes. Scott is the only documented case of an Alcatraz inmate reaching the shore by swimming. While today, a many, many number of athletes swim that same route, Alcatraz to Fort Point, as part of two annual triathlon events.
Damn.
Yes. Because Alcatraz costs more to operate than any other prison, nearly $10 per prisoner per day, as opposed to $3 per prisoner per day in Atlanta at that time. And because 50 years of salt water in the air had eroded the buildings and kind of like fucked up the site.
Yep.
Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy ordered the facility to be closed on March 21st, 1963. A mere, 6 months before his brother was shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Sightings over the years of all three of the inmates have been reported in Florida, Maryland, and as far as Brazil. But no evidence of them living in those areas or anywhere at all has ever been corroborated. So they all but vanished.
That is insane.
Yeah. And that's the story of the great escape of Alcatraz.
That is insane. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. They made it. They were able to pull it off. There's no way.
I agree.
Because you know what?
I agree.
If Mr. Floaty made it, you know, swimming, not in an actual raft that
I agree
the gentleman had made, then who's to say that they didn't make it? Like, I'm sorry, that can't be outruled at all.
Yeah.
At all.
And like it said, and like you said, the odds were stacked in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
They had plenty of things to keep them safe while they were in the water. Yeah, they might have been like freezing by the time they got over to Angel Island, but the wind was blowing in that direction. They had plenty of a head start. The one article I was reading, they were like, yeah, we'd never found any evidence of them breaking into a store in Marin County, but it doesn't mean that that's what they wound up doing once they got on the island.
Exactly.
Could have went anywhere. They could have stolen a car. It was never reported and wound up in Mexico. Who knows?
Right.
And now they're gone.
Right.
Like, vanished.
Or
so,
they could have dumpster dived and they could have found clothes. You know, like, there's so many possibilities. There's so many possibilities, but yeah, no, I'm going to say they made it and they just took on new identities because
rode off into the sunset.
Yeah. And especially if they split ways and they didn't stick together, I think that was a big part of it. Like, if they would have stuck together, it would have been different because it would have been easier to spot them all, but separately, no. No.
There was a story in one of the articles I read where years later, after the escape, the father of the Anglin brothers passed away. And at the very end, at the very tail end of the funeral, two men walk in with long, bushy beards. They like went over to the casket, paid their respects, kind of cried a little bit, and then turned around and walked right back out the door. Said nothing to anybody else. Everybody's like, we knew it was them. We knew it was them.
it would make sense. That'd be a really fucked up prank. You know what I mean? Like, that'd
be a really fucked up prank.
Really fucked up.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very exhilarating story.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated that. I appreciate it. And I like that nobody died, because you know what? They're alive. Well, they lived in
Yes,
that moment.
they're likely probably no longer with
No,
us,
no.
except for the person that Alan West stabby stabbed in prison,
Yes.
which jerk, but whatever.
Yes. Well, thank you, Charlie, for that wonderful and very exciting story.
You're welcome. Twists and turns.
I will not be partaking in the that swim that they do from
No.
Alcatraz to
No.
that.
That sounds
It
awful.
absolutely terrible. Like, I could barely swim from one end of a pool to another. I couldn't even imagine doing
Taking a
it.
little divey dive off the side of Alcatraz. No thanks.
I'm good.
Nope.
I'll pass. I'll watch. I'll cheer you
That's a hard
on.
pass.
But nah, I'm good. You have fun. You do your swimmy swims. It's fine. It's
Exactly.
fine.
Get your swim on, girl. Get your swim on.
Oh man. Well, guys, if you like tonight's story, please tell us. Send us an email telling Charlie how much of an amazing job she did, and congratulate her on her new engagement, because yep. And you can send that email to bedcrimestoriespod@gmail.com, or you could go ahead and slide into the DMs on the Instagram at bedcrimestories. And if you don't do that, we will judge you. So please do so. And we would like some story suggestions. We're always open to suggestions. There's no bad suggestion, honestly. There really
No.
isn't.
Zero.
Because while there are countless true crimes in the world, sometimes it's hard to find the right one, you know? Sometimes it has to be shown to us. If you like what you are listening to, please feel free to rate, review, and subscribe. Tell all your friends. We want to be their friends too. Let us start 2024 in a positive light. So please be kind. It
Be the band-aid.
is muy importante. Okay? Muy importante. We love you guys. Thank you so much for sticking with us every week. We appreciate it more than you know. Hope you have a good rest of your day, night, week. And we'll see you guys next week. But until then, sweet
Sweet
dreams.
dreams. Our theme song is the song Industrial Music Box by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.